Hey guys, we are here for Quantico season 3, and I am so hyped that this season is back. All of your favorites are back, and there's a slight twist to this season. You won't want to miss it, so stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Oh, that came in real drama.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting
that. All that drama is very appropriate for this episode. Oh, do the...
You know, Alex always lurking behind an alley somewhere.
Yeah, with the lip pout going to on, too. She knocked out how many guys in this episode?
Can I say that here?
She totally is. She's such a badass.
She is.
I'm saying it. Welcome, guys, to the Quantico Season 3 panel.
Hey!
Oh, I'm so excited for all these ladies. It's going to be so good. And this episode was insane. But I guess we'll just introduce ourselves since this is the first episode. My name is Candace Cruz, and I'm joined with my lovely panel right here.
Hey, guys. Elena here. So excited to be with you guys. Obviously, it's going to be a whole new different feel because it's a panel full of ladies.
Right.
Full of strong, minded women with opinions. So we're going to get into this season.
Yes, I'm excited. Everybody, my name is Ashley Allen. And like I said, I'm really excited. This season started off with a bang. We have a lot to talk about. So let's do it, ladies.
And what's up, everybody? I'm Christine, better known as Christine Bean. Really excited for season 3. I've been riding with Quantico since season 1.
Yeah.
Yes. So I'm really excited to see how the show has changed because it seems to reinvent itself every season. Mm-hmm. So stick with us all season. We're going to have a lot to say.
Yeah. Well, it really did invent itself this season because I feel like the last two seasons were, number one, 22 episodes. This season is only 13 episodes, so it's a little bit more condensed.
Right.
But I feel like most of the time it's been the end game and the long game because they kept even saying that a lot in season 2. It's for the they're in the long game. So I felt like this season kind of shook it up because we got to a conclusion very quickly on one crime. And I'm like, wait, this is it. I'm not used to this.
Mm-hmm. I like it though.
I did too.
Yeah, I did too.
What were you going to say?
Well, we were kind of talking about that off air before the show started. I was kind of wondering if it was going to take the scandal route of it being like one concise problem that the team had to fix each episode versus a story arc that spans the entire season like they've done before. And it seems like we're going to get the first part where it's going to be something that they have to solve each episode.
Yeah.
The fact that it's more condensed, like 13 episodes, not 22, and we're not getting that one storyline that goes the entire season. Well, we kind of got it, which we'll get into later. But as far as them solving crimes, I think if they were to make it, okay, let's solve this one mystery for 13 episodes, we get over it.
We're just like,
we're like, are you seriously dragging this on? Like, you already have that answer. We don't want to, like, you know, the cat and mouse game we don't like.
Yeah. I will say also, I don't want it to run into an issue where the writers make everything so cheesy because it's like it has to be wrapped up in one episode, which I felt a little bit tonight, which we'll get into. But that's one thing I worry about with the show. But I'm here to give it a fair chance.
Right.
I enjoyed it. I like the pacing of this episode because, like you said, like in the past two seasons, I did have moments where I'm like, okay, like let's develop the story more. So I did like the pace of this new season, but I do want at least a few storylines to kind of stretch out a little bit.
Okay.
Well, let's do a recap because it's been 3 years of where everything ended in season 2. And now we're jumping into 3 years in the future where we see Alex is now no longer Alex.
Mm-hmm.
She's Pavati.
And she's Italiano right now. And living in Italy. And I mean, I want her life. Like what she had, you just had the simple, quiet life.
Yeah.
Living in Italy, got this gorgeous man.
Ooh, you don't want that.
Working in a vineyard.
I mean, no, but I kind of do. I want it for like a week.
Okay, thank you.
And then I come back and then I go for another week.
There's the honesty.
But I mean, look at what Alex has gone through. Of course, I would want a simple life after everything I'd gone through for a little bit of time.
Yeah, but she's like attracted to drama like a magnet. Like it doesn't even take very long for her world to get shaken up again.
Exactly. Right. The lights go off and she's like, stuff's going down. Right? Get in the bathtub. Yeah. I got a gun.
She's so good at what she does. She the lights really didn't come on And all she saw was a shoulder go behind a tree.
Yeah.
And that was it. She was like, shut it down.
Yeah. It wasn't even a whole person.
Just a shoulder. I was like, ooh, that's some good eyes. Okay.
For real. Yeah. Do you want to live?
Yeah. Like, I mean, I think the idea of what she was living was a good life. But we all know sooner or later she was going to get tired of it.
Of course. So, I mean, it's Alex Parrish. What can you expect? But the biggest twist, if we're bringing characters back into play, after this whole crap goes down in the forest of Italy, what do we call it, forest?
Sure.
Sure. Forest, land, woods. Wherever, woods, whatever.
Out there.
Out there in the middle of nowhere. She comes across Mr. Ryan Booth.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Or he comes across her.
Yeah.
He's a stalker. He hired a guard.
He's her.
It doesn't matter where she is.
He's going to find her.
He's going to find her.
Mm-hmm. He loves her.
That's because they're soulmates.
Yes. They're connected at the
soul
hip.
Tie.
They're like, yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. But he drops a huge bomb that I was not ready for at all. And I feel like that's where the kind of borderline cheesiness is going to come into play.
Okay. Yes.
Just saying, calling out the obvious.
Yes.
As much as I love that there's a twist and they're trying to add some spice to it.
Yeah.
I still feel like it can easily get cheesy because of the best friend scenario.
Yeah.
I drop the bomb.
I realized that, like, from season one and season two, that's probably the only love storyline they hadn't explored yet. So they're going to do it now. And I feel like low-key we saw hints of that when there was a crisis happening last season and Shelby and Ryan, they're always forced to work together, always forced to... It seemed like their conversations before, Shelby was always teaching Ryan something about Alex or helping him realize something about their love and their connection. So, of course, then to be with her after the fact, Shelby knowing all of this, how they're always tied to each other, like...
Trifling.
That's the best way to put it.
You know what? Before we get into the drama of how trifling Shelby is, let me tell you guys how we're able to have this show and to talk about all the drama.
Okay.
So if you want to have some fun, learn and grow in all areas of your life, for those of you who, I don't know, like, who don't know where to go, we have a great podcast for you. Conversations with Maria Menounos. The podcast edition is hosted by our AfterBuzz TV founder and drops every Friday on iTunes. Conversations with Maria Menounos feature celebrity and influencer interviews along with secrets and tips on how to be better in all aspects of your life. From health and wellness to career, relationships, finances, and so much more. Let our Maria be the big sister you always wanted. Just go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos for free. Be sure to rate and comment, and when you do, let Maria know it was us who sent you there. Conversations with Maria Menounos podcast edition. Check it out. I was jumbling my words there. Like, what's happening?
We got the message.
We
followed it.
What you want to do is go to join Maria Menounos, the podcast edition on iTunes.
Yes.
She's
all
amazing.
All of them need to listen to her podcast.
And
they
let her know. Yeah, the Quantico squad.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, make sure you put Quantico.
Yeah.
Also, write the writers of Quantico and tell Shelby to go listen to the podcast because she needs to get her life together.
Yeah.
Ooh, in all aspects. Seriously.
In every area. Just, it works.
I think I was mainly, not so much irritated. I mean, of course, I was irritated about Shelby and Ryan being together, but I was more so irritated about him acting like a baby with this whole situation. I'm like, okay, I understand you love her. You guys are married, but... Come on now. Like, we all see through this.
Right? I feel like he's overcompensating for something.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. You've been in the CIA and the FBI. This is a drill. This is a normal, like, you expect this stuff to happen.
Yeah.
So the fact that it's involved with your ex, I think, is what you're more pissed about.
Yes.
Not the fact that Shelby's in custody or, like, being captured. Like, that's one thing. But now I have to involve my ex that I thought I was never going to see again. And it's her best friend.
Not only is he involving her, but he needs her.
Yes.
Okay, wait. Yeah. We live in a world where they are these top agents. You know better than to think that you are never going to see Alex again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know that you were going to see her again. You paid someone to tell you when she popped up because you knew that she could pop up. You know
exactly.
that she wasn't dead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's a game. Like, you're playing you're playing yourself, basically, because we know that you love her.
Yeah.
I just want to know, like, why didn't... I mean, from their conversation later in the episode, it seems like Alex was the one who essentially walked away, finally, because they were in Thailand together.
Right.
And he
that
says, I woke up, you were gone.
Much.
It doesn't. That's a total Alex move.
Yeah.
But at the same time, with Ryan, it's like, I don't know, I just wish he would have just found somebody else or went after her because he knows he will eventually anyway. Mm-hmm. Like, just... you followed her that far, just keep going.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. They've been through this a million times. You know you guys are going to get together, break up. Just keep doing it. Like, you don't have to marry the best friend.
So Alex says this thing where she's like, yeah, I wanted you to move on. Or she walks away from Thailand because she needed a clean break.
Right.
But did we not see her in the field when she was working in Italy daydreaming about Ryan?
Of course.
About how he would follow her wherever she goes. So
they're both playing themselves.
It's ridiculous. Exactly. Right. Grow up.
But, I mean, being in Alex's shoes, I feel like I've been in Alex's shoes. You never think that they're going to move on.
Even exactly.
It's almost like the whole thing that we're taught as women sometimes growing up is like, make them chase after you.
Yeah.
So it's almost that whole idea of he'll still chase after
me. I think that's true.
He'll come find me, whatever else. But it doesn't work out that way.
In a way, as much as Ryan annoys me, I kind of feel bad for him in that scenario. If that's Alex's mindset, because it's like you're going to, like, that's not fair to him. Eventually, just like either commit to each other or for real, just make a clean break. I don't know. But maybe that's what she tried to do.
Nah.
Well, the best friend who's now wife has been captured by the widow, otherwise known as Mitzi.
Mm-hmm.
And she is running this huge operation. And do we know what she really does, though? Because she says she deals with, like, horrible, dangerous men.
Yeah.
She consumer confidence. That's what she said.
Yes, so what is that elusive?
Whatever it is that she's selling on the black market, whoever buys it, those secrets are safe.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way that can get out, I'm assuming. I don't really know. But I'm assuming that's what that means.
Because I was wondering which way they were going to take it, and they kind of still left it out of the picture. Is that, I mean, she's dealing with $50 million non-refundable, like, deposit for an auction. So she's dealing with big sums of money.
High rollers.
Yeah. It's got to be some type of product. Or maybe it is secrets. Maybe that's what she sells is secrets. But it's all in a fashion warehouse. Like,
I think what she's selling is her position as the middleman. That's kind of how I took it. Is that she'll get it done. You don't have to worry about anyone knowing your identity. She's the person who's going to get the deal done, get you your money or whatever it is that you want. I think that's the service.
The service that she's giving.
It's interesting because I thought it was very interesting that Will was involved in her operation, who we knew from previous seasons. Sucks to see him in that respect. But just the way that was wrapped up to me is, I'm not sure if that's completely done there. Because something as serious as the Conscience Code and what it does, I don't see it just ending here. And the fact that only Alex knows what it is and she's so integral to this team, I just see it coming up again later. And I'm just curious how it'll come up again. Because they said that Will's jailed, they took the widow. Seems like everybody's going to jail and it's all done, but it just seems like something so serious.
Yeah.
Like that kind of code falling into the wrong hands, considering all the people that she does deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And the next episode alluding to cyber terrorism of some sort. Mm-hmm. Or, not cyber terrorism, what was it?
I don't remember.
They were all in hazmat suits or something.
Oh,
bioterrorism.
Bioterrorism.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I just see it being a bigger storyline.
Well, I think, too, the widow is not dumb. She played the long game. Like, we were talking about last season. She knows that Will is tied into all of this. And she knows that Alex has the code. So she can find any other hacker. She could find any other, like, brilliant mind that could do coding. You're going to pick the one that knows these people in and out, and you're gonna sit on that card until you're ready to play it.
Did Will not die?
No.
Yeah,
no.
I was confused about that too.
I swore he was dead.
Wait, in the what is it? What was that big scheme that happened?
If you're watching at home, write in the comments.
Please let us know.
Because
it was like the World 22 Conference, something like that.
G20 Summit?
Thank you very much. G20 Summit.
And what happened?
But
he died.
Did he die?
He was bleeding out. He was bleeding out.
He was bleeding out.
Well, he miraculously survived.
Forgive us, viewers and listeners.
Please let us know. It's been a minute. Because I think I just rewatched all of it, and I don't think that we actually saw him die. Because he got out of the hole, like, he didn't want to shoot somebody because of all of the, like, he realized what they were doing, and he tried to side, and then he ended up going on the bat. I never actually saw him die.
I mean, I didn't either, but
we just assumed.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You know what they say about assuming.
Mm-hmm.
Here he is. and then when you think he's going to try to help Shelby.
We know him well enough.
No,
he is flip-flopped so much. He's going
to
be loyal to whoever's going to keep him alive.
Exactly.
He doesn't care who it is. And the fact that bringing up a couple of our other characters that we've missed, we have Owen and Harry coming back into play as well. They decide that they're going to go out and try and, give Will the pardon. of sorts. They should have known that that was a setup. Yeah. Like, come on. No one's going to easily be like, here, I want a pardon.
I'm going to call Will the leech now. Every time I say leech, I'm referring to Will. He just got it. Sucks onto whoever he's around.
That's a good, yeah.
Don't do it.
But just, I was very, I don't know. He just made me angry. But I really do like this team dynamic because they took it down really, really quickly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Having, you know, you have Alex, Ryan. We don't have Shelby in the mix, so I'm interested to see how this whole dynamic team works out.
With Shelby?
With Shelby in it.
Drama.
It's
y'all feeling some type of way about this? Yeah. I don't know.
I don't like Shelby. I never
have. She's like, shooter.
Tell her how you really feel. She definitely said shooter.
Okay, wait. Damn. When we were watching the show, the widow came in with a gun, and at this point she was threatening Ryan. Yeah. And everybody's like, oh, snap, she's about to kill her. And I was like, yes, do it. Sure. Because I really don't want to go through the, oh, my goodness, you just stole my husband because he's so in love with you. Well, he's my man now for three. Like, I don't have time for that.
Yeah. True.
Yeah.
True. And that's what I think is going to end up happening.
She's always been annoying, though. Season after season, from the very beginning, she's always had this same character role.
Entitlement.
And then there was a point last season when her and Alex really, their friendship really grew and they were getting really close.
Mm-hmm. I was about to say.
When we started to like her more. But nah.
That's when she was at her best.
Yeah. Yes. I agree.
When she's someone who's just about facilitating and helping the team.
Of course.
When she, I felt like she had such a strong character moment too when she stepped away from everything that happened with Caleb and kind of just found her own strength as her own person.
Right.
So to fall into this weird love triangle doesn't sit well for me for either of those two strong female characters. I just don't want to, I don't want to entertain that. As a viewer, I'm like turned off by it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Ryan's hot, I get it. Like, I'd be fine.
But he's not. But not
enough to do this song and dance for as long as they've been doing it.
Yeah.
Like, for real.
I was really interested, and it got me all twisted up when the widow said something that I think we were all thinking.
Oh, yeah.
When she said, who do you want me to shoot first? The woman you married or the woman that you love?
Listen, and I was like, the widow. The widow said everything that we wanted to say. She was so shady.
Yeah.
Like, she was a villain, but we. I kind of like her.
But she kind of looked like a grandma that I wanted to hug, too.
She was so real.
She said, well, at least one of these people care about you.
She kept it real the whole time.
And it was Alex. It wasn't,
yeah. No.
Because also, Ryan is yelling. I know we're kind of jumping around, guys, but it's just too intense anyway. But Ryan on the phone is, don't hurt her.
Yeah.
He was not specific.
That is true.
At all. He used the pronoun her. Mm-hmm. He didn't say, don't hurt Shelby, don't hurt Alex, don't hurt them.
My wife.
He said, don't hurt her.
Yeah. Ooh, that is a good catch.
That's because they're not fooling anybody. Like, we all know.
Are we wanting
who's
to save
really
the
love.
Ring or are we wanting to save the conscience code? Because that's in Alex's brain.
Yeah.
But Ryan also didn't say, Alex, just tell her the freaking code.
Yeah.
No.
He stayed quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all right, you gotta shoot Shelby. If I had to choose, I'll deal with the loss of Shelby.
If we're going down that road, he is gonna get a very nice, like, chunk of change if she does.
True, she is loaded.
Killed.
She's still loaded?
She's living on a trust and she has her own company. It's a public company.
Oh, yeah. She had her parents' money, her own company.
I don't like Shelby.
Me either.
Well, speaking of, I mean, the fact that you don't like her,
right.
She's one of the characters who's survived up to season 3, if you think about it. Nima, the twins are gone.
I missed them so much.
Think about how many characters, like, didn't even make it out of the AIC CIA storyline we had last season. What was her name with the afro?
I loved her.
She stepped away from the show. A lot of people stepped away from the show. So it's
interesting
that those central characters are still the ones left.
Mm-hmm. You know what, though? So talking about the transition and going to season 3 and trying to find our mojo, as much as I miss the twins, and everyone had their part that we loved.
Right.
Especially Owen's daughter. I'm so happy she's gone. She was annoying.
Yeah.
I didn't care for her.
Even the way that she, like...
way she spoke.
It was, like, peacocking the whole time. Oh,
I never thought about yourself. That like that.
Yeah.
But the fact that they're gone is making way for the writers to do a lot more. Because you're not keeping the core staff.
Yeah.
Like...
Yeah. And plus, it allows for different storylines. Because I feel like they've condensed the team down. So you don't have to, you know, allude to all these different, because we almost got, I think that's probably why the last previous seasons worked with that many episodes is because you had so many different storylines to tap into. One episode we're going to the twins, and then one episode we're going to Caleb, and one episode, So this one, you've got the central, we've got Owen, Harry, Jocelyn, we've got Alex, Ryan, Shelby, so that's six. And then we don't know if Will's going to come back into play. But, I mean, that's a crucial group of six.
Yeah. And we're breaking ground with a new character like Jocelyn, which we have to talk about.
Can you just go. You're just being me about this.
I know you want to talk about it. Okay, wait. No. Okay. So, I sign, and I really need more practice. But, like, last week, I was like, okay, I'm going to be signing more, especially in LA, because it's different. And then we're watching the show, and I was like, oh, my God! I was like, as soon as I saw her, I went like this, and y'all looked at me like, what are you doing? What happened? Yeah, and I was like cheering, because I was really excited for them to bring in the aspect of ASL. Yeah. I was like, that's really cool. And the fact that she's using her voice, and she's super, say the word.
Badass.
Yes!
I'll say it.
She's a beast with it, so the fact that they're breaking barriers and bringing in all languages. It wasn't just ASL. They started the show with us reading the subtitles. We were like, okay, we don't know Italian. That's such a good point. It was awesome. The way that they incorporated was great.
Well, I know that we're not really recapping the show as much. I think we're just more excited about the new, like, formatting of everything. Mm-hmm. And what I really like that you touched on is that they're doing different languages. Mm-hmm. And they're really touching base on, you know, not only the diversity card, because we always have had that theme.
Right.
But you're really touching into a whole new element of involving other people, other languages, really touching on current events, which is something that they've alluded to in a lot of the interviews. So I feel like it's going to be such a groundbreaking and innovative show outside of their typical procedural that we always, like, of course, love. I mean, I love my procedurals, don't get me wrong. But I think that's what's going to make this so much different. Mm-hmm.
They had to build a fan base, and now they can do more of what they want to do because they have people who thoroughly enjoy the show. Mm-hmm. They have people who enjoy what the storyline was, who now are invested into characters like Alex and Ryan. Mm-hmm. So now you can go ahead and push the boundaries, and we're here for it. So far, we're here for it.
and it's great that you touched on that, because there was a dip in ratings and in terms of, like, just fan interest after, you know, they played around with the format a little bit. So taking a risk again this season, I think, is very noble. And it's something that ABC is no stranger to.
Right.
I just want to see how well it does this season.
Right. Yeah. But even with that, too, going back into the show aspect of it, how intricate it was down to the framework. Like, I really like that Jocelyn brings in this whole new type of dynamic outside of the ASL, that she's like, look at everything.
Right.
And you're really seeing things from a different perspective that you don't normally tap into. Like, even down to the frame of, like, knowing the way that the sunbeams were coming
in. That scene was epic. That scene was so epic.
It was amazing.
That's what I enjoy the most about her character is, you know, she's signing, and of course we saw Ryan doubt her because of that, and you continually see her just shut him down. It's like, yeah, I signed, but I'm still as good as you, if not even better. Mm-hmm. So I love that that wasn't anything that hindered her. It made her better.
Right. I also love how they were attacking those who may feel like deafness is a disability.
Exactly.
Or deafness is a disservice.
No. The juxtaposition of those two characters is great. Their banter, their back and forth just says things through dialogue that we're thinking.
Real life.
Of course.
Real life.
So,
and he did learn, because he even went down into the dust aspect and got those little fragments of, like, color, and realized that it was in a clothing factory.
Exactly. Because truthfully, we're all so lost in the way that we live and the way that we function that when we are introduced to someone that's different, we do think that they're different, or I'm better than. However, what I loved about Jocelyn's character was her saying that me being deaf increases my other senses.
Exactly.
When we have all of our senses, we forget that when you lose one, the others increase. Your sense of smell increases, like the way that you feel things, everything increases.
Your peripherals.
So what better role for her to play than this bomb detective, because now she's about to shut everybody down.
Exactly.
And then that fire aim she had when they were...
Oh, yes, the sniper.
Man.
I'm interested to see how they involve her, because, of course, it does have to be a little bit different when you're in the field.
Right.
Because hearing is a big aspect of having to, like, if someone's behind you, and obviously your senses help with that. But when she was in the thick of things when they were going after Will, and then he, like, injected Owen with something or other, she automatically knew where the cameras were, how many people were going, the two people chasing Alex. I'm like, you got all of this.
Yeah.
Okay, but realistically, in that scene, when Alex was running off, her and Ryan were talking, and she was signing to him because she wasn't using his voice, but Ryan was looking around, and you could see him try to look at her hands. Like, as an actor, not as the show, but as an actor, I saw him looking at her hands, but he was looking around, and she was still signing, and he knew what she was saying, and I was like, okay, you know your script, but you need to be looking at her.
True.
Because we need to know that you are understanding what she's saying.
Yeah, I wasn't actually, I noticed that too. I wasn't sure if it was intentional or not.
Same. It wasn't too bad.
Yeah, because it could just be like a total like actor's thing. You just see through that. Or I was wondering if it was like trying to show us one of those moments where like that can become a barrier because you needed to get the information out quickly and clearly to affect the situation and how they would go forward. So I was like, oh, this is interesting because you see him kind of like, like I'm trying to listen to you, but my senses are telling me to just go.
True.
So I think that'll come up again and again.
Which could also happen with any language, though.
That's because true.
If we
That's
were both true. In a field, also hearing, not hearing, and you're saying something, but I don't understand you if you're with your accent, no matter how fast you get it out, I'm lost. So
I think it's going to shine a light on just being able-bodied and like the privilege that we're afforded with that, whether we realize it or not.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like, going to be real. So good. I'm so excited.
I am excited. And I really do like the idea that we're going to be going into with the kind of like wrapping everything up with the one thread line. Because they did obviously capture the widow.
Yes.
How long that's going to last, I guess time will tell.
She'll be back.
She'll be back.
Go ahead.
Yeah, the only reason why I have this like feeling in the back of my mind that it's all going to be connected somehow is because what happened before with how long it took... like, how deep-seated that setup was for Alex to end up being... to take the fall for that first Grand Central bombing and how many layers there were to that makes me think with this conscience code, are they setting this up to be a long game of, like, you're the one who has the code. You had it all along. And then... you know, possibly aligning her with the terrorist group. I don't know. Like, I'm trying not to fall back into the places that the writers have taken us, but it's kind of hard not to.
Yeah. And how scary is it to think that if we're art imitating life, this conscience code, if it actually does
exist.
Sure
right.
Because what did she say? She said something along the lines of it is a computer
controlled
code. Thing that will basically like
hack into missiles, bombs,
drones,
all of it.
Yeah.
So if a human being can't press the button because they grow a conscience, it can override the human
and still launch the attack.
Artificial intelligence gets me all riled up.
Sounds like something Trump would have.
Our
phones. I've got the doomsday button.
Seriously.
Is a small portion of that, if you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
They listen to everything that we say. If you think about it, you could talk about, oh, I love Coach Purses, and you're scrolling through Instagram, and boom, Coach Purses right there.
Let me look.
Seriously, even if your phone is not unlocking, you're just having a conversation. As soon as you get on some kind of platform,
it shows up.
Yeah.
It's so creepy.
Y'all are too good.
Technology is scary nowadays.
I mean,
So this is what worries me a little bit. I kind of agree with Christine about how the Conscious Code episode and everything dealing with it is going to come back up because they didn't give us the satisfaction of taking down the widow.
That's true.
So... Alex and Shelby were having their little girl time, blah, blah, blah. The widow came in. Okay, you gave us the wrong code.
Mm-hmm.
And then out of nowhere, Ryan and everyone showed up. And Owen showed up and they had the FBI or CIA, whoever was in the room. How did y'all get there? Did Alex give you a code that pinged her location? Like, what was that like? How did you do that?
Yeah.
And this episode, to me, felt shorter.
It felt like they rushed
a lot of the rest of the episodes. And I wonder if it's because they had to do so much, like... setting up the scene of where we've been in the last 3 years and all this other stuff, like Harry's working for the Pelé brothers and all this other stuff. So I feel like I missed out on crucial crime story elements versus like, oh, well, Ryan and Shelby got married. I wonder how many people were at their wedding and
stuff. It's like this. When it's that first episode, you kind of try to give a little bit of everything and then moving forward, you kind of, okay, now, you
Get
know what I mean? Yeah.
Exactly.
And we're going to meet more characters.
True.
Promo for, later on, Quantico season 3 showed us that we're going to meet a redheaded person.
Yes.
I'm sure recruits in Quantico are going to come into play. Because
Alex is going to hook up.
Alex is going to find a new man.
Of course she is. I mean, look at her. Of course she's going to. I mean, she's a badass. That's going to be my word. I guess I'm the only one that's going to say that.
Badass.
A badass.
You can say it. Thank you. But yeah, we still have yet to meet more people who are going to shake up this dynamic. So
I hope so, because I really don't want to fall into the whole, like she said, you marry my best friend, body, body, blah, blah, stuff too.
We saw that it's coming, which is super annoying. Shelby's in the back with her all black, just creeping
in the corner.
Harry catches
what
you
said at the end.
I don't know what
she said in the trailer of like, it was the person,
the person holding the knife is the person closest to you or something like that. Girl.
You were holding the knife first. Shelby, you held the knife first, okay?
Bump all that. Shelby, you know that he loves her. Like, she is his soulmate. She's the one that he's going to be with. So you set yourself up.
I'm going to
give a hot take, an early prediction that it's not really a hot take, but we're going to get some sort of flashback episode this season to find out when exactly and how those two got together. Because it's going to come up. Like, it has to.
But then, I don't know about y'all and girlfriends. I'm sorry to make this a girlfriend thing. But when Alex was like, okay, so when did it happen? And the first thing she said was, don't worry, it didn't happen when he was with you. Girl.
I didn't say
that. If it did. Like, it doesn't matter. At this point,
you got a ring on it.
You owe me an explanation. I was your best friend.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So don't get sassy. Don't have an attitude. That's what I'm not here for. And then the whole preview showing Ryan trying to smooch up on her. It's like, okay. This is going to be a thing, so we might as well prepare ourselves.
Right. Yeah. It's going to be a thing, and I think they both showed how insecure they are about their marriage in different ways.
Yes.
Ryan
yes.
by taking off his ring, and Shelby in her defensiveness about how it got started. They're both so insecure about it.
Good point.
Yeah, and Alex is the only one that's secure in all of it.
Exactly, because y'all got together. All right, I'm not bothered by it. Whether or not she's fronting is the case.
And she owns up that she's upset about it. Like, she does. Yeah. At least she's like, well, I mean, I wasn't my best friend. Okay, that's kind of shitty, but...
Yeah.
Before we start moving on to the seconds, can we just talk about Harry's character a little bit? First of all...
I love Harry.
He's still so funny, but why does he look so old? Why is he so great?
It's been 3 years. He had a lot of stuff happen.
3 years? 3 years and you turn 50. Anyway.
Oh
my God, y'all are so dramatic. It wasn't that bad. No, he is still so cute and he is
I kind of like the salt and pepper though.
I do. It looks good on him.
Sexy. Yeah.
But my favorite part of him this episode and what I think we're going to get more of this season is just him finding his way back. Like, he's having his little boring job, trying to live a regular life. And then the way he casually kills Gavin's little brother.
Yeah, he just packed up
with
his
the
stuff
coke,
gathered and left.
I will say I did like that because it seems like
that was great.
He's more sure of who he is now, not struggling with his sexuality or what side he wants to play for. It seems like he's more secure in who he is.
I think he's put his ego in check a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah, not completely. It's still there because he obviously is like, so I'm a $20 million like sitting duck is what you're paying. He's like, yeah, as long as I can do my job well, then yes, it's money well spent. But I think he still has that, I still need to be a part of a team, even though I'm not a team player.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like them all. They all are addicted. So even when Alex walked away from joining the team, I was happy for her, but I also knew that she was coming back.
Exactly.
And I'm sorry. I'm going to say this. She went to Italy and back in one day.
No.
That's not real. I'm sorry.
With zero jet lag, no bags under her eyes.
No, I mean, going through customs. Number one, you're Alex Parrish. You're going through customs to go to Italy. You go drive out to the middle of Italy, see your ex-lover and his daughter, and then realize, oh, I can't be around you, and fly back.
This? She did. She barely had one foot out the cab.
Are we sure?
She really did, though.
And then I'm gone.
It wasn't the same day.
It had to be. She was in the same outfit. Like, and they were all still celebrating the same thing. So it was nighttime after she had left that morning.
That's crazy.
And he was like, let's get
some
drinks.
12 hours travel time there and back, girl. What? Who has time on their hands for that?
It was not the same day.
The way that they
had the flashback and the scene set up. No, it wasn't the same day. Y'all are tripping.
No, it was the same day.
They were still celebrating. I couldn't have missed that.
They were still celebrating.
I'm trying to find a way to make it happen. Shelby and Ryan were on a couch. Harry was eating. It was different. It was a different. They had got comfortable at this point.
There's at least 24 hours that passed, but like the same day.
It's still.
Right. No, like
you go back in time.
No time wasted. Then she walked in and said, you got an extra
she
glass.
She gets in the cab. She leaves. Oh, nope, I'm gone. Let's go back.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious.
Well, let's do some predictions before we have to wrap up. And then one thing I do want to ask you guys is we're trying to figure out, like, our little...
What do you want to see exactly. That's different? What did you not get enough of last season or from the last panel that you want brought to the forefront, I think would be a good way. I like to stalk the comment section, too. So go ahead and call us out.
We're going to try and get some news and gossip your way as well throughout the course of the season.
Because it's going to be so good.
It is.
It really it is. Yeah. Because, I mean, number one, it's an outstanding cast, and we already know that they have amazing chemistry to make it to season three with, like, that long of seasons.
Right.
Yeah. But I'm really excited about the aspect of, like, art imitating life.
Yes.
Idea. Yes. Because I feel like we're in a weird climate right now within the U.S. and might as well be entertained by it.
Yeah.
So. Right.
So that's just going to be so fun.
Yes, but some predictions.
What do you think is going to happen?
Outside of the obvious.
All right, we're not talking about Shelby.
Ryan or Alex.
Okay. Okay, fine.
All right, you want to take it away?
Yes, I'm going to be boring and stick by my earlier prediction that the Conscience Code will come back up and be a larger theme than just this episode.
Okay.
That's all I got for right now. I'll tweet out something later if I think of something.
I agree with you. I think, I mean, of course, there's going to be, I'm sure they're going to play with the whole mole idea situation in the team. Someone's going to turn on someone.
Really?
I think so. And I don't know. I just feel like something interesting is going to happen with Shelby. And I don't think it's anything in particular with Ryan. But I don't know. I just feel like there's something's going to happen with her in this situation.
Mm-hmm. Piggybacking off of your prediction a little bit, there is someone who's going to come in and cause some drama, and I predict that it's going to be Harry, because Harry always has the role of the mole. Like, he always gets the secrets. He's always seeing the things that happen, and in the previews, we see him watching Ryan almost cheat on his wife, so we know that he's not going to be quiet about that. Like, though he's matured and he put his ego aside and he's grown up, I think Harry's going to be the one in the group to cause trouble, as always. Because it's who he is. And I'll be surprised if he doesn't.
Going off of that one, I think that Harry will cause drama, but I don't think that he's going to be the mole. I think Shelby's going to end up being the mole. Ooh. I think that Shelby has this tendency to flip-flop so much, just like kind of a couple other characters that we know.
Yeah.
And that she will find out what's going to be the best for her and capitalize on it.
Yeah.
And she twists the emotion. She's an emotional twister.
She is.
She really is. And she plays the sweet, innocent, like,
Southern
Belle. And I think that it's such a cover-up because we've seen her exude her power in all fronts. So she's someone to be reckoned with. And I think that if Harry's going to bring into the drama, she's going to play off of it and do something and be playing both teams. Because, again, it is a Black Ops team, right?
Right. Yeah.
And I think that the Widow isn't just, like, I don't think that she's the end-all be-all. I think she's going to come back into play. The fact that they bring in Jocelyn after being with the Widow for 19 months and her coming onto the team because of that, the Widow's not done. And I think that she's going to be running a lot of schemes that they're going to be dealing with from within wherever she's at. And I also think that she's not necessarily the highest up on the ladder.
Yeah,
I think she'll answer to someone a lot higher that's going to come into play.
Yes.
I can see that happening.
Kind of piggybacking off of both your predictions, I like what you said about Shelby possibly being the one who could be turned or being the mole, because usually with the people who get turned like that, they have the most, like, emotional stock in something, and Shelby's the one who's going to get hurt the most by this love triangle. Yeah.
Right.
So I could totally see someone tapping into that and making her turn on everybody else.
Well, she has the most to lose. Because if you're really claiming Alex as your best friend, still, quote unquote, if you're still claiming that even though you're the one that twisted all of this and married her ex-fiancé, but we'll just leave it at that. Like, you're going to lose your best friend and your husband.
Career,
You have the most to lose.
Yeah.
You really do. So,
or the most to gain. Who knows?
Who knows? We'll find out.
I don't like Shelby.
She just wants to off Shelby. So the faster that can happen, she'll be happier.
She's not going anywhere.
You got an APB out for Shelby.
Where can they find us until next time?
Well, thank you guys so much for joining us. My name is Candace Cruz. You can find me on all my social media at Candace R. Cruz.
Again, Elaina here. You can follow me on all social platforms at Hey_Slay.
Hey guys, Ashley Allen here. Thanks for joining us. Make sure you comment, like, subscribe. We will be reading all of your comments.
Mm-hmm. Yes, make sure to drop us a line. Thanks for listening tonight. And if you're listening later, you guys can find me everywhere at Christine Bean on social media.
So be sure to subscribe, like, and comment below because we want to know all the things that you want to know for Quantico in this season. So we'll see you guys next week.
Until next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.